Okay, this is part two, or second and final part, about Mechai Leila Shvach and Simen Tzarivov, the beginning of Simen Tzarivov. So we've spoken about all kinds of cases with Mechai Leila Shvach, where a Davar Charav draws Tam out of a Kli that's Eina Ben Yomer, and even though it's Eina Ben Yomer, the Tam gets made positive again, to the point that it can make the Davar Charav Aser. So, Mechai Leila Shvach. All the cases that we spoke about, or cases like that, where it was a Eina Ben Yomer Kli, and now the Davar Charav is in Mechai Leila Shvach. But that Eina Ben Yomer Kli is one type of Nes Tam of Gam, but there's also there's another type of Nes Tam of Gam, and that is when there's a food, a kosher food, not a bliya, a food that can't affect another food because it's Nes Tam of Gam. Well, for example, I'm making up a case. Let's say we say that meat that mixed into coffee makes a negative taste in the coffee. I have no idea. We'll just pretend that that's what it is. So then, if treif meat would fall into a cup of coffee, then once we pull the meat out, the coffee would be mutter. Even though it has a bliya of meat in it, the meat is lefgam in our case, the meat is lefgam into coffee, and therefore it can't make the coffee treif. So as long as we get the piece of meat out, we could drink the coffee, we don't have to worry about bliyas. So would Mechai Leila Shvach work in that kind of a case also? Can it take the bliya, which is the tam that's coming out, which is lefgam, and make it better, make it positive, that it should make the food usher, even though if it would have been into not davar charav, it would have not been. Would it work in that kind of case? So, turns out that Tosfos says that this case is mamash talked about in the Gemara, according to Tosfos. Now, it's not the Gemara we're used to. The Gemara we know in Avodah Zarah about Mechai Leila Shvach and Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, about Chiltus. Tosfos says, if you look on Tosfos in Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph, says that the Gemara actually talks about this case. The Gemara talks about if you have a rodent, an achbar, if you have an achbar and it fell into vinegar, the Gemara has a question, does that make the vinegar usher or does it not make it usher? So Tosfos learns that the Gemara is assuming that the time of an achbar into other foods is lefkam. That was a question in the Gemara earlier, but it's making an assumption that it's next time lefkam. So why should it maybe also? What would be also about it? If it's next time lefkam, it should be mutter. The reason is because since it's going into vinegar, and vinegar is charav, so it's mechai leila shvach. It takes the time lefkam that would have come out of this achbar, and it makes it leshvach. Now that's going into a davar charav. Now that's going into the davar charav. Okay? So now, the Gemara has to decide that I just explained the reason, the way Tosfos explains what the reason is, why the vinegar should be usher. The reason why it should be mutter is not the opposite. The reason why usher is a different reason why. It's not because we think it's not Mechai Leila Shvach. According to Tosfos, both Stogim and the Gemara assume that Mechai Leila Shvach works even if it's for foods. Just like it works for Eina Ben Yomer from a Kli, that kind of Nesam Gam, it works here also. Now, what Tosfos says fits very well with how we explained last time. We explained last time from Iran and Mishkanes Yaakov. How does Mechai Leila Shvach work? What is that? What is the mechanics of how that works? And we said that the way it works is that anything that's charav inherently has a something negative about it. There's an automatic negativity, which is the charifus of it, the sharpness, the acerbic nature of this food. Is something that's not so desirable. You know, there are other parts that are good. Overall, it's a good food, but there's a little bit, you know, the sharpness takes a little bit away from it. So by mixing in some food, if any other food basically that you mix into it, that's not harder for itself, any other food that you mix into it will mellow that and make it take away from that the strength of that harifas, and that's overall, that's positive. So the thing that's being mixed in, the Eina Ben Yomer Tam, the next time, the thing, a Tam that would theoretically be next time of Tam, here serves a positive purpose, so its overall role is l'shvach and causes something positive. Now that line of reasoning, which said from Ra'ah and Mishkanes Yaakov, maybe the Chazanish and the Rambam, that logic for how it works just as good if it's coming out of an achbar as if it's coming from Eina Ben Yomer. The point is, it doesn't make a difference what the treif food, it doesn't mean it's a bliya, or it's a bliya coming out of an actual food. The point is, in fact, it's giving, in a certain sense, it's giving a negative taste. But the fact that this is a davar charav, then the negative taste serves a role, and overall is good, and that's considered Mechai Leila Shvach. So according to Tosis, we're good. We understand that according to Tosis, it's seemingly it's a deferish of Gemara according to Tosis, that Mechayel Shvach works for food that are Nesam of Gam, just like for pleas that are Nesam of Gam. And it fits well with the logic that we explained for how Nesam of Gam works last time. However, that's what Tosis says. But Rashi has a different shot in the Gemara. That according to Rashi, the Gemara has nothing to do at all with, well, it doesn't have anything to do with whether you say Mechayel Shvach, nothing to do at all. And the Chassam Sofer says that the reason why Rashi doesn't hold Tosis is exactly for this point, because Rashi says it's not possible that Mechayel Shvach should work for actual foods. It only works for blias. There's no such thing as Mechayel Shvach for actual food. So that can't possibly be in the Gemara. So Rashi has to say a different shot. Whatever Rashi tries, not relevant to us. Rashi had to say a whole different shot in the Gemara, because to him it was poshed that Mechayel Shvach only works for blias that are in the time of God, but not for foods that are in the time of God. Now, there's a number of other choinim, who are not talking about Rashi and Tosis, but they also, to them, they say it's also obvious that Mechayel Shvach does not apply to actual foods. And it starts that these achronim start from Teres Chatzos, that's Ramah, who talks about the Taz brings in Nar Simen, that the Ramah says like this: if a person cut a radish, Davar Charef, and he found that when he was cutting it, there was a worm in the radish also. Okay, so that worm strafe, of course. So he has to clean off his knife. He has to clean off the radish, the place where he was cutting it, because there might be an left of worm on that spot. So, okay, that's not so important to us. But the doesn't have to be worried about bleas of the worm going into the radish, even though it was cut and it was a double harv, because it's nice time of gum. He says, don't worry about it, because it's nice time of gum. So the Mechaz Yaakov, on the spot, says, wait a second, but we have it's a double harv. Double harv is a Mechayel Shvach. So he says, that shows you that the Rama needs to say is that Mechayel Shvach doesn't work for actual foods that are nestam of gum. In other words, for bleas are nestam of gum. And he says, and Mechaz Yaakov says, and go look at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in Anach Samotes, and you'll see that it says like that also. And the Prima Gadim explains what I just said. He doesn't say that it's only Fishitas Rashi. For some reason, they're not mentioning that Tosis says not like that. But the way you read according to Rashi, you see in that Gemara that Nestam of Gam Mechayel Shvach wasn't on the radar as a reason. Okay, now, then on the Mechaz Yaakov, in the back of the regular Mechaz Yaakovs, there's Ha'aris from Rabbi Kivaker. Not very many, but one of his Ha'aris is on this. And he says, go look at the Tshuva and Shev Yaakov, Simon Lam Gimel. Okay? excuse me. And he says, and in Shev Yaakov, he's not talking about this kind of a question. He's not talking about our din, but he says to him, it's Pashit, that Mechayel Shvach only works for Blias, and does not work for Blias that are Eina Ben Yomer, but it does not work for actual Ben. Okay? now, some of these Achronim that I just mentioned, and Mechaz Yaakov, and Prima Gadol, and Chassam Sofer, give words that give that a little bit of a hint, as to why they think, what should be the difference? Why should Mechayel Shvach only work for Blias and not for, if it comes from an actual Achbar, or in this case a worm, or something like that? They give hints to it. But the Shev Yaakov explains it the most clearly. I think that they all mean the same thing. They all use similar little words that hint at, when they say the way they think the din is, they use words that give hint like this. So the Shev Yaakov is more of an explanation. I'm going to explain the Shev Yaakov using my own phrases. I believe this is what he means. He doesn't use exactly the words I'm going to use, but give or take, this is what I think he's saying. And in fact, what I think everyone is saying. He says, when Tom becomes Ein Binyan, so let's say tray food was a knife was used on tray food. Excuse me. So there's a blea of tray food in the knife. A blea of tray food in the knife. And now if it sits there, it becomes Nes Tam of Gam. We say it's Ein Binyan and it becomes Nes Tam of Gam. So what's going on really is that the taste of the tray meat is still Lishvach. It still would give a positive taste into other foods. But on top of that, there's a layer added onto it of the metal, of the being inside the cleat or something about it, that there's a layer on top of it that says that causes the overall taste to be negative. That is to say, there's a base of the taste, which is which would be l'shvach, it would be positive. It's a nice piece of meat. It should taste good. But something's been added on top of it. It's been covered. It's been layered with something else that makes it have a negative taste. Now, we saw way back when we first started learning about davar charif some time ago, we saw that a davar charif has this property that it draws time out of places that regular things can't go. Remember, all the other din of davar charif, all the other properties that there are of that davar charif, that working for a klisheni, and they work, it gets past not far not, and it does, it works even when there's no heat. We saw that all the things about, except for this, all the other details of davar charif are that they draw time in ways that regular otherwise wouldn't get out. They get deeper in and more complete time that otherwise wouldn't come out. So what he's saying is that over here, there's good time in the kli. The good time is just covered over. It has this layer on top of it of pagam that came from sitting there for 24 hours. So the davar charif is able to touch in and tap into the actual time. It gets to the real time deeper in and then pull that out. So the way the davar charif is mechayel l'shvach is by drawing us out the real time without the coatings that are on top of it that are ruining it. Just the actual time itself, and that time itself is of course a shvach. That time was a nice piece of meat. There's nothing bad about it at all, and it managed to tap into that without the layer that's on top of it. Now, if that's the way mechayel l'shvach works, then that only makes sense when we're talking about something that the inherent time that's in there is good. It's just been covered with something that's no good. That's fine for a bleer that became in the binyamri. But what happens if we have something that's disgusting, like the worm that the Ramah spoke about? Or what happens if we have something that's spoiled? That was the case of the Shev Yaakov. His case was something that's spoiled. So then the thing itself is rotten. The thing itself has a negative taste. Either the worm, because worms don't taste good, or because the food that's spoiled, the whole food has now become ruined. The whole food has become something that has a negative taste. It doesn't have a layer on top of it. It in itself has a negative taste. So the davar charif can't do anything. The davar charif, what's it going to go? It's going to dig in and what? There's no real time in there. The time of the worm or the time of the spoiled food is just as disgusting as everything else. There's nothing better and worse. It's not like a layers of different things. And therefore, there's no way for it to be mechayel l'shvach. It couldn't possibly be. There's no way for mechayel l'shvach to work on a food that inherently has a negative taste then. Okay? Just as an aside, according to this Hesber, which again I think that the others, the Mechizak of Yizur says something that's Ba'atzmai Pogum Yitchilasa L'Olam Ubitchilasa Briyasi L'Olam, or he says the Chassam Sofer says it's Saruach Pogum Be'en, or Pirim Gom says it's Pogum Eikarei. These are things that are like, they're like so the inherently trade, that's where Mechayel l'shvach doesn't work. All these cases we're talking about, all these things are for things that are the etzem negative. In the case that I spoke about way back at the beginning today, about a piece of meat falling into coffee, or a piece of meat falling into some other kind of davar charif, we did the etzem, it's a good tasting food, then seemingly they would agree that you could say Mechayel l'shvach. We're only not saying Mechayel l'shvach. Okay, but when it's actually like a rat. So what we're seeing here is, okay, let's summarize. What we saw here is that Tosis and the Ra'ah have one way of explaining Mechayel l'shvach, and according to the way they understand how Mechayel l'shvach works, it works just as well for all types of Nes Tam Ravka. It works whether it's a bleer that's in a binyamri, or it's a rat, or if it's a worm, it's all the same thing. It can always be Mechayel l'shvach. And we're seeing now an alternate explanation of how Mechayel l'shvach, and that works from a number of these Achronim, that works well with the way Rashi learned the Gemara, who said that Mechayel l'shvach only works for Eina Binyamin Blias, it works for that, but it does not work for things that are inherently have a bad taste. And again, as I mentioned, all these names of who said this, it seems like the later Pesachim seem to have the consensus is to follow this, and to say Mechayel l'shvach does not work when we have a food that's inherently not true. So this is basically, it's a kula. It's saying is that you cannot say Mechayel l'shvach in those kind of cases. Okay? And just, okay, that's our summary for that. And just what you're hearing between the lines of, listen to all these people who are talking about this, just about everyone who we mentioned today, is all making an assumption that vinegar is a davar charif, and could be in the rules of Mechayel l'shvach. And last time we mentioned that Chazon Ish says not like that. So again, all these people are saying not the Chazon Ish. Again, last time we had also a nice lineup of people who said not the Chazon Ish, that vinegar is considered Charav L'inyan, the rules of Mechayel Eshvach. Okay, now let's move on to a different question related to Mechayel Eshvach. That is like this. The Rama says that if you have ginger, it's a double Charav, but you can buy ginger that from Goyim, you know, cut. I mean, it's not a solid piece. It's a cut piece of ginger, because they have kelim yuchadim. They have special tools that they use for cutting it off the ground when they harvest it. And those kelim are not used for anything trade. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. Maybe they use the knife for something trade. Well, that's fine. That's one did. If we have a reason to believe that they have kelim yuchadim, then you don't have to worry about that. The knife might have been trade. Okay, one. Then the Shach says, what about the opposite? What happens if we know somebody used a knife, a regular knife, to cut something to Harv, but the knife is in the binyamah, so we say the food is treif, because we have to assume that one time in the past, the guy must have used that knife for something treif, in which it had a blade of something treif, and so even though it's in the binyamah, we say mechali l'shach, even though it's not chiltis, so then it's treif. Okay, so we have two opposite extremes. We have one case where we assume the guy used this knife only for kasher. We have one case where we assume the guy probably once used it for trade. Okay, it's a regular knife. He probably used it for trade. So what happens if we're not sure? Okay, we're not sure whether they have kelim yuchadim. They have special kelim. We'll use a regular knife. Okay, so we're not sure what happens if we're in the middle here. We don't know, is this a regular knife or this will these people have kelim yuchadim? So l'chayra, the answer to this comes from the Rama in Halacha Aleph, in Tzadi Vav Halacha Aleph, who says seemingly it could be mekel. And the Shach explains that we have a rule that Stam Kenet Ne'ebin Yermen. So that means that any time this Shaila that we're dealing with is a Shaila of just a Mechayla L'Shvach. Okay, it's not a question that it's Ben Yermen. We assume it's Ne'ebin Yermen. Now, there are Rishonim who say that Mechayla L'Shvach is only issue for a Chiltus. Maybe Chiltus and Tznoim. So we have essentially a Svek Zeka. Sofik, if the knife was ever used for Treif, because maybe this is an act that they use in Kelim Yuchadim. And Sofik, if it was used for trade, well, it's Ene Ben Yaima, so it's a topic whether maybe Chayil Yishrach doesn't apply to things that are not Chiltus, and therefore we could be Mekel. So it's basically a Sex Sekum. Okay, so now we just heard an explanation for what happens when you're Mesupik. If it's Kelim Yuchadim, or they use a regular knife, then we say, based on Sex Sekum, we say Sofik. Rama says if it's Sofik, then it's Mutter. Okay, well, we have a question on that. The Mechaber says that if you have lemon juice or salted fish, and the goyim deliver them in bulk. Okay, big barrels full of them, lots and lots of pieces. You're allowed to eat them. So, of course, what's the chashash? The chashash is maybe they cut those lemons, or they slice the fish with a treif knife, and they're b'chayil l'shach. That's the thing to be concerned about over here. That's the potential thing to be concerned about. So the Rechavah says that it's mutter. The Rama says, why is it mutter? He says the reason why it's mutter is because since they're coming in bulk, you're getting a lot of lemon juice, or you know, a barrel full of lemon juice, or of cut up fish, salted fish, which is double charef. So therefore, even if there are some that were cut, even though they were all cut with a, even if they were cut with a treif knife, there are only a few of them that would actually be treif. There's only that much bleed to go around. So the treif ones are buffed in the kosher ones, and that's where you want to eat them. So the question is, wait a second. It's a suffix. We don't know if they use kelim yuchadim or if they use knives that we use for other things beforehand. So it's a suffix. So didn't I just tell you that the Rama says that when you mesupik, whether it's kelim yuchadim or not, then you're allowed to use them. He says svek seikum, and you're allowed to use it. You're allowed to eat it. So why did Rama have to say over here that it's mutter because of bittul? Because even if they're treif, they're going to be bittul. Why didn't he say? He said in halacha aleph that there's a svek seikum you could be mekel. So why over here? Here we're in halacha vav, and hey, sorry, halacha dalad. So why are we here? Did he forget about this suffix that you have to be mekel? So the Shach asks this question. The Shach asks this question, and the Shach says that the difference is because the Ramah's only mekel, the case where the Ramah was mekel on halacha aleph about suffix was a case where it was cooking about radishes. That the question was, how did they cut the radishes off the ground? And he says in that case it's a reasonable possibility that they use a shovel, a mar v'chatzina, meaning that they get them out of the ground with something that would never be used for treif. It's a shovel, and the shovel is used just for digging food out of the, you know, root vegetables out of the ground or whatever, and digging up in your backyard. They would never be used for treif. So that's the case when the Ramos say that there's a real suffix that maybe they use kalim that are miyuchad, and that's a good chance. It's a good chance that they just dig it out with a shovel, which and it's just kalim miyuchadim. That's the case where we let it make a seksekim. But if you have something that was cut with a knife, so then you say, come on, the knife once must have been used for treif. You know, the guy has just a knife; he must use it once for treif. And if you had even one time that you used it for treif, you know, was 6 weeks ago, that would have been enough because of mechayel l'shvach. So therefore, the chance that this is a dedicated knife is so small that basically, for these purposes, that's not enough to make it a suffix. So the only time we make about a suffix, only case where Amos says that suffix is mutter, is when there's a reasonable suffix. It's a nice chance that they use a marav chatzina. It's a case with a good chance that they dug it up with something that taki is killing. We call them, that's when we have a suffix. But when we basically assume the guy used a regular knife, then possibly maybe they use kelim yuchadim. That's not enough. That's not enough for us to be mikol based on that. Okay. So now let's see if we could apply these rules that we just heard to some cases. So let's say we get something from an industrial factory. I don't know. We get cut up lemons or ground spices or some other double harif that was, you know, processed and ground or cut, etc. like that. So in that case, there's a very good possibility that they use kelim yuchadim. That they use kelim, the equipment that they use is only used for kosher food. I mean, that's pretty typical. That there is a chance, it's possible, that they use the machinery to cut up, you know, treif meat, and maybe, you know, in ways that would make the grinders and the cutters and the knives treif. It's possible. But in this case, it's very much like the radish case I just mentioned. There's a very good chance that it's marav chatzina, that they're using kalim that are, it's a very good chance that they're using kalim that are special for this. So that is enough. That's the case with the Rambam says is, if it's a suffix, then you could be simon and say, svek sveka, and therefore you're allowed to eat the food, and you would be allowed to eat these spices or other davar charav made in the factory. Okay, that's fine for a factory, but what happens if it's a food service? So you're in a restaurant. You go to a restaurant, or you're sitting in a hotel lobby, and they give you a drink, or they give you a Pepsi, and it has a slice of lemon inside of it. Okay, so the question is, was that lemon, what should we think of that lemon was cut with a knife that had been used for treif beforehand? So over here, it's possible that it was a marav chatzina, but here the chances are much stronger that it was used in treif. It's a treif restaurant. You know, there's lots of treif food around. It's not like a factory that it's really unlikely that they have the same equipment used for spices as is for meat. Here, it's a very likely possibility. So what would Rambam make on this case? So on the one hand, let's look like there's a reason that we should make them. In many restaurants, the fruits and vegetables and things like that are cut in a special area. In other words, they have kelim yuchadim, that target is, or a case like that. It's not exact, not like the ginger case, where we were assuming that they have kelim yuchadim. No, but maybe it's enough, like the radish case, that it's a reasonable possibility that there's kelim yuchadim. Maybe. And then another thing is that, let's say they use a treif knife. So we keep saying here that if they ever use a knife for treif, then we're finished. If you use a knife for treif, then you're stuck, that the food is going to be treif forever because of mechayel l'shvach. Well, that's forgetting that when we spoke about davar charif and duchav v'sakina, we found out that there's a way to take a knife that's treif and get rid of the blias. So the official way, if you open up your Shulchan Aruch, is to do ne'itza. Now, that's not so likely that anybody did ne'itza, but we also heard that if you wash it with soap and water, that's also going to get it clean. And so that is a very real possibility. I don't know if you wash it every time with soap and water, so overall with chayshish, but all of a sudden we're only being chayshish with things that happened in the past little bit. You know, they don't, let's say once a day, do they wash their knives with soap and water? You know, they don't sit around forever. So in Shulchan Aruch's time, a knife that was used for treif 2 weeks ago would still have a problem because the bleeds that are in there are still the same. But when we're talking about bleeds that are, that could be taken care of by washing with soap and water, then all of a sudden we have a very different story. Okay, but on the other hand, go to the other side, is that one of the ways that they're going to wash it with soap and water is by putting it into a dishwasher. Whoa! We do that, and then not only, we might be getting rid of some bleas, that's true, and some residue that's on the surface, But we're ruining it because we're making a trade in the dishwasher. We saw it way back when we talked about dishwashers, in earlier halacha, that that's a good way to make it actually a trade. Okay, so we have different stuff over here. So, but what we're forgetting is, so maybe from this side of Suffolk is not going to be enough to make it with the frost. But you have to remember is, Ramos said, what was Ramos din? What did he say, why you let eat the lemons? He said you let eat the lemons. He, remember, he had a different reason. It wasn't, in that case, wasn't based on Suffolk. He said it's because it's cut, enough pieces are cut at a time, that's going to be bottle b'shishim, that's going to be bottle. That is to say is, and that's basically what's going to go on at the restaurant. It could be that they cut one lemon, one slice of lemon to put into your drink. But it's not so likely. Really, more likely is, they cut up lots of lemons at the beginning of the day to have to put into everybody's drinks. In which case, what the Ramah said is going to apply, which is, there's only this many slices that could be trafed. And those amount of slices that we have that can be traded, we'll talk about this in Rich Hashem one day in Simon Koftez about Yavish Miyavish, the one that was the one or the ones that are traded are going to be bottled and the ones that are not traded. So seemingly that's a reason why a person would be allowed to eat this, even if it's double charf, even in like a restaurant type setting. Now, before we wind down on Machai Leshvach, I just want to mention a din, which is sort of an opposite in a way of this din, and that is like this. We're talking this whole time about how Davar Charav has a special ability to take time, which is Eina Ben Yomer, and make it Lishvach. Okay? So what's going on here is that the Kli is Treif. It's been Treif for more than 24 hours. But because of the kosher food that's here, like the Charav kosher food can do something to make it that the Eina Ben Yomer goes from being Lefkam to being Lishvach. It fixes, it makes it at the negative Treif becomes a positive Treif and causes the food to be Treif. Now, there's a case where the opposite is true, where we have, it's not that the kosher charef makes a difference, but it's the treif that makes a difference. That is to say, is, if the time that was balu in the kli was wine or whiskey, then that time does not become affected when it becomes ene ben yomer. So even though it's been in the kli for more than 24 hours, it remains lishvach. So there, it's not because of the food that it's going into that makes it l'shvach, but it's the food, the way that what's coming out that is l'shvach. It will, does never becomes ene ben yomer. So there's like sort of an opposite way that things should not become ene ben yomer. In Rosh Hashanah, we're going to talk about that when we get to, hopefully, in Siddur Kuf Gimel, about ene ben yomer. Now, just to end off, we've been talking about Tochad Sakin and Machai L'Shvach quite a number of times. What I want to do now is I want to go through, with your patience, 15 cases that are reasonably common or common questions about Davar Charav, or about not Davar Charav, about cutting, things like that, cutting knives and Charav and things like that. And I'm just going to, each one of them, just give a brief question and answer with a brief explanation, not too much detail. It's all based on things that we've said until now. Just sort of like a summary for the past number of times. Okay, you should assume in all these cases that everything is kosher and parav and ambient, unless I tell you otherwise. Okay, no, that's what you should assume. Second, you should assume is, if I say something is milchigs or fleshigs or treif, that means it's been used that way within the past 24 hours, again, unless I tell you otherwise. Okay, and the knives are assumed to have never had any itzo or washing with soap and things like that since whenever it is that they became fleshigs or treif or like that. Okay, those are our assumptions. Okay, so first is, what are some examples of a davar charav? So we have the salted fish, they're in alphabetical order, at least on my paper. Garlic, grapefruit, herring, salted herring, horseradish, jalapeno peppers, leeks, lemons, limes, olives, onions, peppercorns, pickles, radishes, salt, scallion, vinegar, and whiskey. Okay, I don't know, that's quite like, 15, 20 cases. Okay, now here's a question. If something was not charav, was cut with a fleshig knife, can you eat that food with nuchas? So, like a regular vegetable that was not charav, can you eat it with nuchas? And the answer is yes, you can eat it with nuchas if you clean off the place where it was cut. Okay, it's duchah the sakina. So there's duchah the sakina. Leaves grease on the knife, which transfers onto the food, and you have to clean it in order to get that off. And the way you clean it depends on what the food is that you cut, the not hard food. So you do hadacha, which is to rinse it off if it's something hard like a carrot. You do grater, it's like a scraping, if it's something soft like a cooked potato. You do klipa, which is to cut off a layer, if it's for a hot food, and it was cut with a knife that was fleshigs, but was ain't even known for being fleshigs. and you do shifts of gadol, which is if you scrub it under running water, if it's something soft like meat or fish, with gray roy and klipa is not possible. Okay, number three. Can I purchase watermelon or carrots from a supermarket which is not without hashgacha? So those are not, the answer is, those are not charef, and they may have been cut with a knife that had once been used for shape, but the answer is yes, you're allowed to, because they probably use a knife that's kelim yuchadim, that's just for fruits and vegetables, in a supermarket, that's common, and even if they didn't, then the ones that are treif would be bottled, the slices that are treif would be bottled among the kosher. Okay, number four, can you buy raw frozen salmon fillets from, frozen ones, from a store like, I don't know, Sam's Club, that has no ingredients in it, just cut up fish, and has no hashgacha? And the answer to that is yes. The salmon is not charef. The fish, people who cut fish, again, cut hundreds of pieces of fish at a time. So that means is even if one of the pieces is, one of the pieces happened to have been, you know, the knife had been not kosher, had been used as any shape beforehand, even that small possibility that they hadn't cleaned it well beforehand, they hadn't washed it with soap and water, even so, it would be bolted into the other pieces. Okay, and I use salmon as our example because salmon is a weight you could buy a fish without scales on it, so you know you're getting a kosher fish, as I'm going to mention in a second. Okay, now what about others? Let's say you want to buy sliced fish, raw fish from a fish store, not kosher fish store. So the first thing, of course, the last case I tell you was salmon. So in salmon, you know just by looking at the flesh that's a kosher fish. So the first thing is you're going to have to check that it has scales that you could pull off without ripping the skin. That's first, just decide it's a kosher fish. But then we have a problem, because the knife that he's using in the fish store, he might not have cut so many pieces before he cut this. He might have cut treif and then cut this fish right afterwards, and it might be not so many pieces were cut. It's not like when you're buying in Sam's Club, it's coming from a factory that cut hundreds of pieces at a time. In the fish store, they might cut one fish and then one type of fish and go right to the next kind of fish. So really, of course, the best thing is to go to a store with hashgacha. If there isn't, then you could ask them to cut the fish with your kosher knife, bring your knife with you, and bring your own, you know, tell them to put on a fresh piece of wax paper. That's easiest, because then you have no problems of switching onto your fish. Or you could have them wash the knife, their knife, with soap and water, and then of course put onto a piece of paper. That's also. And the worst choice is if they won't use your knife or you clean their knife for you, then buy the piece of fish and take it home and do shiv shuv or remove it kate klipa. That's only bidyevit. The Rambam says we're not allowed to count on buying something and count on doing klipa later on, because you might forget. But if bidyevit or a person is shasal chak, then they'd be allowed to do that. Okay, now, The next case is, what happens if there's a factory that's meant to, they make smoked fish, and by mistake, they brine the fish. Before they smoked it, they brine it, so it's in a very salty solution, in a kli that had been used for treif fish more than 24 hours beforehand, and they brine the kosher fish in that treif tank. So the din in that case is that the kosher fish would not be kosher. And the reason for that is because the salty fish is double harf, so it's mechayel l'shvach. The time that's in the container is ene ben yomei, but this is mechayel l'shvach. And therefore, it makes the entire kosher fish into a non-kosher fish. Okay. We talked about this, I believe. A person who has dentures can assume is allowed to eat charav on Pesach. There are some people who might be not to. They're allowed to eat charav on Pesach. We assume that the dentures don't have any bleeds in the first place, and therefore, they don't have to worry about the town coming out with the double charav. Some people might be not to, but most people assume that it's not a problem. Okay. Next, a person took a jar of pickles with all the juice, I may have mentioned this last time, I think that's why I mentioned it, and he put it into a milk container, and he left it there for more than 24 hours. So those pickles cannot be used in a fleishig salad. The reason is because the pickles are harf, they are mechayel l'shvach, they draw time out of the container while they cover it for 24 hours, and they, even though the time is in the binyomer, it's mechayel l'shvach, and therefore it makes the pickles to be fleishigs. And therefore they cannot be put into a fleishig salad. If someone already put them into the fleishig salad, that would be totally in the shaila of the beis meir we spoke about last time, whether it be to be makbid on that, in this case, because it's milchigs and fleishigs, and it's any binyamid, but it should be makbid on that. Okay, another person, no, I'm up to my ninth of my 15 cases. He made a Caesar dressing. and he made a Caesar dressing. A Caesar dressing is intimate, is not charev. He made a Caesar dressing, and he put it into a flacid container and left it for 24 hours. Could he use that in a Greek salad? Greek salads have cheese on them. So can he put the Caesar dressing onto the Greek salad? And the answer is that since it takes 24 hours for the bleeds to come out, it's ainu ben yarmut, and it does not become flacid, and therefore he could put it onto his Greek salad. Now, the added detail here is that Caesar dressings, have vinegar in them. But the vinegar is just a minor ingredient, and it's not the main overall taste over here. The way he says roiv, it doesn't overall give a taste that's charev, and therefore Caesar dressing is not considered double charev, and therefore it's not machayel l'shvach. So by the time the beer comes out, it's in the binyamin, and doesn't cause it to become fleshy. Okay, have an onion was cut with a fleshy with a knife that was in the binyamin for using for fleshy. So you can that onion cannot be used in a soup that has cheese in it, because it was machayel l'shvach. As we've been talking, it's machayel l'shvach, and it's the onion is now fleshig, and it cannot be put into a soup with cheese in it. The onion, of course, is harf. If they already did, that again backs to the shayla of the base mayor. Okay, next. A person sliced onions on a cutting board that was ainu ben yarmut from fleshig use. The question is, can you put that onto a pizza? So in this case, it's ainu ben yarmut, and the olives are, I said onion, I meant to say olives. Olives in most cases are considered to be a double harf, and we saw that the din of davar charev applies, and duchah the sakin applies even on a cutting board also. Not just the thing that a slice, the thing that you slice on is also, you can draw time from them also. So bria comes out of the cutting board into the olives to make them fleshigs. The fact that it's ainu ben yarmut doesn't make a difference, because it's in mechayel l'shvach. So those olives cannot be put onto a pizza. Okay. And my 12th one is one I mentioned just a few minutes ago towards the end, which was, if you're in a hotel lounge, there's a chafe hotel, and you give you a slice of lemon in your drink, you are allowed to use that lemon, because the lemon is mechayel is charev, and it would be mechayel l'shvach, but we that's mitigated by the fact that it's a suffix, that they might have special knives, the knives might have been cleaned with soap and water, and also likelihood is that they cut so many lemons, or enough lemons, that anyone that would become chafe would be bottled in the ones that are kosher. Okay, now, a person, number 13, okay, someone made fried eggs with onions in an ainu ben yarmut milchig pan, okay? He sat down for breakfast, he put onions and eggs in, and he fried them. And the spatula that he used was fleshigs. So what's the din of the pan and the spatula and the eggs? Okay, so the answer is like this. If the eggs were put into the pan before the onion, then everything's fine. Nothing's affected. And the reason for that is because the eggs, if the eggs went in first, then the mixture of eggs and onion is not charef. It's mainly eggs. And therefore, it's not charef. So therefore, nothing special happens over here. The pan is ainu ben yarmut. The spatula is ainu ben yarmut. Nothing affects each other. Everything is kosher, and everybody can go home happily. You can use the pan and the spatula, and the eggs are kosher. You can eat them, no problems. Okay. But the more typical case is not like that. The more typical case is that the onions were fried before the eggs were put in. So then, it depends like this. If the spatula was used while the onions were still charev, means to say is, the person was using the spatula before the onions fried very much, and before the eggs were added. So if the spatula was used with a double charev, then the pan and the spatula have to be kosher, and the eggs are treif. And why is that? That's because the charev onions are machayle l'shvach, the milchig tam in the pan, and the fleshig tam in the spatula. So the onions now become basar b'charev. And therefore the onions are treif, the eggs mix into them become treif also, and then the tam goes back into the pan and the spatula, and they also become treif. What happens if you only use the spatula when it was later in the process, when either the onions had already become not so charev, or the eggs were mixed in, then the pan and the eggs are milchigs, or the pan started off milchigs, and the eggs are milchigs because they drew out tam out of the pan, they became milchig, that's fine. And the spatula, but the spatula should be kashered, because the spatula now has a belia from those milchig eggs and onions, and it should be kashered. The tam from the spatula does not affect the eggs, and does not affect the pan, because its tam is, it's ainu ben yarmut, so, and it didn't have contact with the davar charev. Okay, two more. Let's say someone cut onions with a fleshig knife, and they pureed them in a parva food processor. Then the food processor was used to parade other onions, and those onions had been cut with a paraffin knife. Everything was the Eni Binyamin, and all these things, everything was Eni Binyamin. So the question is, could you use the second onions with the chugs? So that is, these onions never got cut with a flechik knife, but they were made in a food processor that had been previously used for onions that were cut with a flechik knife. So we spoke about it a few times ago. It's a question that Achronim, the Magen Avraham says you cannot, and many of the Achronim disagree and say that you can. And last is, a radish was cut with a flechik knife, and you ate them. Okay, so now, do you have to wait 6 hours before you eat milchugs afterwards? And what about the opposite case? What happens if you cut a radish with a milchug knife? Can you eat that right after flechik? And the answer to that is that in both of those cases, there's no need to wait 6 hours. The radish might be milchug or flechik, but in the dinim of waiting for 6 hours, there is no need to wait 6 hours in either direction. After then, you can eat milchugs right away, or if you eat milchugs, you can eat the flechik radish right away also.